Well, welcome back to our 22nd study entitled Revelation, a message for our troubled times. And we're in the final section of this great book, seven sections, each dealing with the gospel age, that age between Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming. And we've seen Christ and his church beginning to witness to the world and to urge the world to seek him and to seek forgiveness for their sins. But the world has rejected the witness of the church, so God sends down his warnings. And the world rejects those, so God sends down his judgments upon the world, those temporal judgments upon the world to wake the world up. But the world refuses to be woken up and despises those judgments of God. So in the end, God brings down his wrath upon the world. And we see that increases to the end where the final destruction of the world comes and the total triumph of Christ over all his enemies, Satan and all of Satan's allies. Now we've seen that they've been cast into the lake of fire with all the nations of the world. But what are the saints? What awaits them? And that's the subject of chapter 21 and chapter 22. The glories that await the saints in heaven. And it couldn't be more different than what the world, those who reject the Lord and reject his overtures to salvation, have awaiting them. For the saints, there will be no experience of seeing the end of the world and experiencing all the terror of that end. No, they will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. They will rise and be with him, coming it with all his angels to judge the world in righteousness. For them, they will not have to face Jesus Christ as their judge, because Jesus Christ will be their saviour. For the rest of the world, they must all bow before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the judgments that is in store for them for all their sins. Christ has taken the sins and punishment for all the saints. For them, they will not experience the wrath of God, that terrible wrath poured out upon the world because of the sin that they have done and because they would not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their saviour. For them, there will be no shame of facing the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, in all his holiness, and know that they could have had salvation, but they have rejected him. And now they have to stand before him in all those sins that he would have taken from them. No, there will be no shame for the saints, because they have been set free, and all their sins are dealt with in Christ. For them, there will be no despair of being cast away for all eternity. For them, there will be no fear of hell, for they have the guarantee of heaven. But what will heaven be like for the saints? And that's what we're going to see now. Firstly, in verses 1 to 8, we see the blessings of heaven that await the saints. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And remember, the second death is not death itself. It's not annihilation. It is like the first death. The first death is separation. Separation of our body from our soul and spirit. And the second death is the separation of our soul and spirit, our entirety, from God, and being cast into hell, where we shall dwell and we shall live. We will be conscious. If we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be our end. Conscious of all our sins that we have done, and conscious, experiencing all the punishment for all our sins that we have done. What a terrible end that will be. But that is not the place of the saints. That is not where we will dwell. We will dwell in this wonderful heaven that comes down from God. And heaven is that place where God dwells. And it is a beautiful place. It's a place fit for God to dwell. So how exciting and how wonderful and how tremendous must heaven be in all that it has, in all the beauty, in all its resources, in all its wonder, in all its majesty. Well, that is the place the saints will enjoy forever. And he saw this new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now the New Jerusalem is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see more about the New Jerusalem in a few moments. But he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Do you see that, friends? This is the new heavens and the new earth. It's that place fit for the people of God, but is also a place fit for God to dwell with them for all eternity. There will be no more separation between God and his people when the new heavens and the new earth come into existence. And what a beautiful place it is. There is nothing to cause any pain, any misery, any sorrow there. There is nothing to age us. There is nothing to take away any of the blessings that we enjoy there, or cause us to have any sorrow in that place where we are going. Because God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. They're gone. No more tears. We will not cry in heaven unless we cry with joy and the pleasure of heaven. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in heaven, haven't they? Truly new. No, none of this earth will exist. None of the things of this earth will exist. It has all become new. All the former things have passed away. And all this world and all its sin and all its fallen condition, all has gone. Nothing to harm. Nothing to hurt. Nothing to cause pain there. He says, it is done. Who says that? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one who creates all things. He has made all things. He is the beginning of all things, and he is the end of all things. And in heaven, there is no end of that wonderful joy and blessing that we will experience. And look, we freely take of the fountain of life, those beautiful waters that God has for his people. And there shall be no one who can cause pain or sorrow to us either. No one who is still in their sin and still in their rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ. No one to tempt us. No one to work for Satan and seeking to destroy that place. You know, if a sinner could get into heaven without forgiveness for their sins and without being cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, what would he do? Well, he would destroy heaven. Heaven would not be heaven. Heaven would not be that place where there could be no sin anymore, because that sinner is there. And sinners sin and spread their sin. And sinners take their sin out on others too. That's what this world is full of, isn't it? Selfish, greedy people, and bent on their own destruction, because they know the wages of sin is death. But in heaven, there's none of that. None of that at all. There's only joy and blessing in the presence of God forever. So that's what awaits, the blessings of heaven. Also, we have that New Jerusalem awaiting us in heaven. Now, as I said, New Jerusalem, the picture here, is of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the people of God joined together once and for all in this beautiful place. And verses 9 to 11 describe that New Jerusalem. Then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So that's the initial description of New Jerusalem, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ. Where are they coming from? Out of heaven, of course, out of the presence of God, because that's where they dwell, waiting the new heavens and the new earth, waiting this new place where they would dwell with God forever and all eternity. And here they come, one united church, one complete people now. All those who have died and gone before, and all those who were here when the Lord Jesus Christ came to wind up the world and were taken in the rapture to meet him in the sky and to meet the saints in the sky, here they are, all together, one complete church. And you see them shining with this glory. And it's not their glory, it's the glory that they have with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. It's the glory of God and being in the presence of God. Here they are shining with it because they are God's people, pure and clean and one in him. What a beautiful picture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that glory is for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Again, if a sinner was in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at that stage, then that glory would be spoiled completely, wouldn't it? Because God cannot stand sin and cannot abide sin and can have nothing to do with sin. And therefore, that glory would be marred and destroyed. But no, there is none. None in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ who has sin upon them or is sinning in any way, or can sin in any way now. That is all past. Behold, all things are new. And then we see in verses 12 to 21 the splendid construction of this wonderful church and how it's put together by God and what God has used to put it together. And verse 12, also she had a great and a high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man. That is, of an angel. The construction of its wall is like jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear crystal. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of special stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. What a beautiful picture there is. And that's the overall picture, a picture of perfection, a picture of beauty, a picture of wonder, because the people of God are, that is the people of God in heaven. They are made wonderful and beautiful by the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed and pure and adorned with all that is wonderful, all that is precious, because we are truly precious to our God and to the Lamb of God. And we see here is the church absolutely complete. There is no one missing. All the signs are equal. The 144,000 are there, aren't they? They're pictured there in the measurement of the church, 144,000. It is the whole church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wars representing the Old Testament saints from the 12 tribes of Israel. The foundation representing the New Testament church, the foundation of the apostles who have brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and have established the church on earth. The whole of the church is there, and the whole of the church is precious and beautiful in the eyes of their God, and will be like that for all eternity. Nothing can mar that. Nothing can spoil that. You see, that beauty is described in precious stones. You can't take a stone and spoil it. It's solid. It's forever. And that is the picture that we have here. These precious stones, precious in the eyes of God. So the church here, in all its perfection. And what is it? It's the work of God, the work of the Lamb, and only his work. It's not the work of hands, is it? No, it wasn't built by man. It was built by God. Every stone, every precious one is there because God and the Lord Jesus Christ has saved them and redeemed them and made them part of his kingdom, part of his family, part of his bride, part of that new Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus Christ has washed them and cleansed them in his blood. Well, friends, are you washed and cleansed? Are you made new in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have that wonderful guarantee that you will be part of that church for the Lord Jesus Christ and for God for all eternity? Or are you trusting in your own works, trusting that you can get there by your own means? It won't work, friends. You are doomed to fail if that's the case. There is only one way, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his cleansing power and his might, only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have the glorious condition of the church through all eternity left to see here. Verse 22, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the king of the earth, kings of the earth, bring their glory and honour into it. Its gates shall not be shut by day, or at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honour of the nations into it, and there shall be no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So here we see in these verses everything confirmed to us that we've been led to believe. This is the place for God's people, and only God's people, and those who will be God's people for all eternity. Note, there's no temple there. Why? Because we need no temple to worship God in. We worship him face to face. We see him. We walk with him. We talk with him. There is no need of a temple in heaven. And who is its light? But God itself. We have no need of the sun or of the moon. There's no night there. There's no need for sleep there. We can enjoy all the blessings of heaven with unlimited strength, without ever becoming exhausted or ever having been able to exhaust the wonderful beauty of heaven and the wonderful joys of heaven. There's no need of light in God's kingdom, where God dwells, is there? He is the light. He shines, and he outshines all other light. And the citizens are the redeemed of the Lord, and they are supremely safe in that city. They can come in and they can go out as they please. There's no need for those gates, those pearly gates, to be closed, is there? Because God dwells there, and there is none to offend, none to hurt, none that would defile, no one to cause an abomination, no one to spread a lie. There is nothing to hurt the people of God there, and they are free to come and go as they please, because this is their home, this is their dwelling place, this is where they dwell for all eternity. They are the ones who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's more. Look at verse chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the streets and on either side of the river were the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him there. What a great place this is. In heaven, there is just life. Heaven teems with life. It overflows with life. We drink the waters and they revive us, and we have life and life forevermore. We eat the fruit. We have life. It gives us life and vigour and strength. There's life for all there who are the people of God. Everlasting life that can never be taken away from them. And there's more. He says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no more night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. No more curse there. No, nothing to offend our God there. No, we see his face, and his face is never turned away from us. There's never any cause for God to turn away from his people in heaven. They have his name on them, on their forehead. Not literally, of course, but it's as though it's stamped there in indelible ink. We are the people of God. We are his chosen ones. We are his washed and cleansed ones. And we serve him as kings and priests in his kingdom, owned by him, loved by him, cherished by him, illuminated by him, kept by him for all eternity. Friend, is that your end? Does that await you? All the glories of heaven? Or, friends, sadly, is it hell that awaits you? It doesn't have to be. You can be a citizen of heaven if you come through the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe upon him and trust in him, that citizenship will be given you and heaven will be guaranteed to you. You will be one of the children of God, washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, and his name will be written on you for all eternity, owned, loved, cherished and kept by him for all eternity. I pray that that may be so for all of you. Well, thanks very much for listening again, and our last talk will be next week, chapter 22, the remainder of chapter 22. Please tune in then. And if you want to hear more messages, then please do tune in to Uxbridge Road Tabernacle, and you'll find more messages and articles there. And may the Lord bless you. Thank you.